So you referred to the ASH plenary presentation of the gallium study looking at obinutuzumab with bendamustine or chemotherapy up front. Could you talk about the design of that study, what the key findings were, and what you think it means?
So this was a randomized phase 3 trial comparing our chemo versus GA101 or obinutuzumab chemotherapy and frontline therapy for follicular lymphoma. And it's important to remember that obinutuzumab is dosed in a different way. So these patients on the obinutuzumab arm received an augmented induction. They received a gram of obinutuzumab on days 1, 8, and 15 with the first cycle as compared to the standard 375 per meter squared in the rituximab group. And then patients that were responding went on to receive maintenance therapy either with rituximab at the PRIMA schedule of 375 per meter squared every 2 months or every 2 months with a gram of obinutuzumab. So a lot more antibody in the obinutuzumab arm. So this study did show improved progression-free survival primarily with the obinutuzumab arm as compared to the rituximab arm. However, you know, the take-home point, I think the big question that really hasn't been answered is it a better antibody or is it simply more antibody? And we do know that you can get higher response rates in certain settings by just giving more rituximab, and it has yet to translate into, with all the caveats of very short follow-up for a frontline follicular trial, translate into overall survival advantage. So I think the jury's still out as to whether this is, in the long run, a better regimen. There were more adverse events in the obinutuzumab arm than the rituximab arm. So, but very interesting data, and I think we'll really need mature follow-up to know whether this is going to be practice-changing.
You mentioned adverse events, and up until now, particularly with the experience in CLL, kind of the only thing I've really been hearing about with obinutuzumab is infusion reaction. Is that your take?
Certainly appears to have more infusion reactions than rituximab, absolutely. We are always on our toes when we have an obinutuzumab patient getting treated. So I think it's interesting, you know, the antibody was designed to engineer out the complement fixation, which was thought to reduce, the hope was to reduce the infusion reactions. And in fact, actually there are more infusion reactions than with rituximab. So I think it really goes to show that, of course, we need the science to translate into the clinic, but until you test something in the clinic, you don't really know.
So if this man had presented now, after having seen these data, if you could access obinutuzumab, obviously it is approved. I don't know how easy or hard it might be to access it for a patient with FL up front, although it's approved, you know, later line. Would you have offered it as an option or discussed it as an option with him?
I probably would have discussed it with him. I think I probably would have erred more towards the bendamustine and rituximab since we don't really have long enough follow-up to know if there are meaningful differences. We do know there are more adverse events with obinutuzumab, but certainly it would have been a discussion.
Any comments about the issue of subcutaneous rituximab? Are you utilizing that?
We're not utilizing that yet, but I think that's a fascinating strategy. Certainly could make it easier and simpler with less reaction. So that seems to be a direction that many of these antibodies are going, and hopefully that'll be something we can do. Rituximab, as with other antibodies, takes a long time to give, and this will free up patients' time as well as infusion room space.